All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Saturday, January 1st, 2021, the beginning of a new year. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other programs I've appeared on over the years. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly revisionist history magazine. Please do subscribe to these fine print publications if you do not already. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.com for all of the details. All right, with that said, let me introduce our special guest today. John Kaminsky is joining us once again. John is one of the most insightful and powerful commentators in the alternative media and has had a very profound influence on my thinking and intellectual development over the years. John, welcome back to the program, sir. How are you?
I'm proud of you, that's for sure. You've been doing a terrific job for a long time, and I really appreciate it.
Hey, well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And, you know, that means a lot to me coming from you. I mean, gosh, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts, but I remember first waking up to the reality of, you know, Jewish power and influence and the whole New World Order agenda, which is, I mean, really, at the end of the day, the Jews are behind pretty much all of this madness
it's
we see today.
It's still the biggest problem. I wanted to talk to you about that because there are some wonderful new people out there performing amazing feats of investigation, but what is still lacking and is lacking in every generation is connecting the dots and attributing the fault to all of these things to the right people. And it's like in every generation, we never seem to reach the true perpetrators.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, geez, years ago when, you know, I was sort of first getting into this, there were very, very, very few people anywhere talking about these subjects. And of course, it is, you know, some of the most controversial topics you could be publicly confronting in society. And yeah, I think it's important. And I think you're right. There are a lot of that we've seen the alternative media and the independent media sort of flourish over the years.
Yeah.
And yeah, but there still seems to be a, you know, it just,
well,
I don't know if it's too controversial,
it's the
too
rationalization,
taboo.
John, it's the rationalization that people make. Do I keep my paycheck or do I say what's really going on? And it's like everyone in journalism faces this because they have a publisher who's more interested in keeping his business going than he is in breaking the God's honest truth. He's not going to do that if it's going to cost him his business. And that's what keeps our parasitic friends in charge, because they know that they can erase any fault that they have with the right amount of money applied in the right place.
Yeah, well, they make it almost impossible for you to operate if you do talk about these subjects. I mean, you and I are prime examples of this. I mean, geez, 4 or 5 years ago, probably even longer than that, actually, I think it was in 2014. So yeah, that's almost 6 years ago, so almost 7 years ago, that PayPal, I was totally banned from PayPal. I've been basically banned from any sort of, you know, online payment processor. And not that I was even generating a huge income doing this anyways, but I mean, you know, they really make it impossible for you to stick your neck out there and talk about these subjects. No matter how polite you try to do it, no matter how professionally you try to do it, you know, they make it virtually impossible. And we've seen that affect people that aren't even really getting at the root of the matter. You know, people are getting shut down and canceled left and right. This year, the past year has really been, you know, kind of epitomized by all of this. And it is a new year. I wanted to wish you, you know, and the listeners, of course, you know, as we get started here, you know, Happy New Year. It's been a total madness. The whole past year, the whole 2020 year has been just total chaos with the COVID scam starting, geez, in January, February of last year. Then we saw the BLM, Antifa riots and looting and just massive criminality and destruction on a nationwide scale. We saw the lockdowns. Now we have the vaccine rollout. And really kind of like a color revolution, American style, play out with the election. And I do think the election was stolen. I think there was all sorts of fraudulent voting and just statistical impossibilities. And President Trump probably won in a landslide if we had an honest vote tallying system, which we clearly don't. So, I mean, really, where do we even begin here? I guess...
I had a thought before you recounted the whole year there, but I forgot what it was now. I started out by saying that for all the wonderful reporting that has gone on, I hate to say this because everybody's done a terrific job. It's hardly made a dent because of the power of the mainstream media. Now, there are people out there who listen to CNN who think that all of the complaints about the election are just Donald Trump posturing because the announcers on CNN and the editors of all the daily newspapers in the country aren't really focusing on the specific examples like 300% voter turnout in Wisconsin and all of these other preposterous things that make this election being fake a total certainty without question. The newspapers aren't reporting on it, and most of the American people who still believe in newspapers are saying, oh, that's just Trump posturing. And that looks like it's going to carry the day.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible when you think about it. I mean, the reality – well, I mean, again, you think about what the media is saying that Joe Biden got – what is it? What are they claiming? Over 80 million votes, I think, which is the most of any presidential candidate in history,
right.
More
that's
than Obama. Right. Yeah, I mean, and this is – they're saying this, and this is a man that could barely get 10 people to show up at a rally. He can't even string together a coherent sentence.
Yeah.
So it's really like media gaslighting on a scale that we've never seen. And I mean, we've seen media gaslighting on a number of occasions, a number of subjects, alleged events.
Yeah.
But this is just unprecedented, I think.
You know, part of the gaslighting was. I wondered all summer about the polls that were going on, and I never put any faith in polls because they're all manipulated. But all through the summer, it was Biden slightly ahead of Trump, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, just by osmosis, you can tell Trump is leading about 3,000-4 because of all of the great receptions he's had and the total disappearance of Biden. How could Biden be leading in the polls? But they were gaslighting us and preparing us for the fixed election.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, even if you go back to the Democratic primary, I mean, Kamala Harris was one of the first to drop out. And next thing you know,
she's demolished her.
Yeah. Well, and next thing you know, she's, you know, Joe Biden's pick for vice president. Biden himself was not very popular among the Democrats. Definitely. No. I mean, you know, you look at a guy like Bernie Sanders, you know, love him or hate him, at least he had widespread support. And he said, you know, said some decent things, you know, does appear to actually genuinely care about the American people to a certain extent. Although I think a lot of his policies are, you know, misguided, but he's at least sort of a certainly a lot more genuine than Joe Biden. I mean, this guy is just a corporate Democrat that's been in office for the past 50, 60 years now. I mean, it's incredible. So, yeah, I mean, the media gaslighting has been incredible this entire year. You know,
now it's at its most important because I just happened to pick up the Friday paper out of the front hall. And on the in the commentary section, it said, keys to the new year in big headlines, getting your COVID vaccine. Is number
yes,
one.
I was just going to say that's probably the number one thing. Get your vaccine. Yeah, they've been pushing the vaccine everywhere. I mean, and again, Trump has played a key role in this.
Yes, he has.
Probably the leading role, in fact. I think you
because,
could argue.
You know, he has managed to, because he's the world's greatest salesman, he has managed to carve out this niche for himself among white patriots where they have no doubt about his fealty to the United States, and I'm just hitting myself in the forehead saying, think about who's he's surrounded by. Think about the people he's named to all these positions. He's part of the conspiracy to, which has succeeded long ago, to take over the United States by the Worldwide Jewish Banker Association. And they have all the money in the world. They can do what they want. Everybody in our Congress is beholden more to Israel than they are to America. How's that?
Absolutely. No doubt about that. Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, what I was going to say was, what are we going to do about that? Because so many people we know, like I have a niece who's a college graduate. In fact, she just became a grandmother. And she is like totally sold on what the Democrats are saying. And it's like, what the Democrats are saying has never made any sense. They just want to let everybody in the country. And I mean, that's even a surer way to communism than this lockdown is, although the lockdown is doing a pretty good job too, because by the time everybody's broke, they're going to be unable to resist any kind of payment from the government. And as those payments continue, they are going to be increasingly weighed down by strings attached to them, foremost of which will be you have to take the vaccine.
You have to take the vaccine. You can't criticize the government or the media.
Yeah. All of that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was on Twitter earlier, and there were some people tweeting photographs from – in fact, if you go on my Twitter feed right now, I just retweeted it right before we started the show. New Year's Eve, Wuhan versus Times Square, New York. And Wuhan, China, again, remember, this is where this alleged COVID-19 virus originated. You know, you look at the photo and there's, you know, I don't know how many people. It looks like a couple hundred thousand at least celebrating the New Year's. It looks like a lot of them actually do have masks on, but everybody's out, you know, packing the streets, having a good time celebrating. And then you look at Times Square, which is like the epitome of like New Year's celebrations in America, right? And it's totally dead. The whole city's shut down. And it's been like this all across the country. I mean, here in California, you can't go to restaurants. The only thing you can do is get takeout. You can't go sit down and eat anywhere. You know, basically that's been a huge part of this whole lockdown agenda is to, you know, punish all these small and medium-sized businesses and ruin their business.
Yep.
And consolidating all of the power in these like top corporations like Walmart and Costco. You know, you can go to these stores, but you can't go to the mom and pop grocery store down the street. It's
Amazon.
It's so incredible. And there have been multiple reports highlighting this, you know, how the elite, you know, trillionaire class basically has just cleaned up ever since, you know, the rollout of this COVID-19 scam and the lockdowns that accompanied it. So I think really this photograph kind of like demonstrates just exactly what this agenda is. And, you know, going back, you know, think about it, a year ago, all the media hysteria reporting out of China, you know, we were seeing photographs of alleged dead bodies laying in the street and Chinese police locking people in their apartment buildings and stuff like that. And John, I look back on it and I think this was all fake news back then.
Theater, yes.
Yeah, total theater, I think.
It's like that blonde girl who got shot on camera in North Carolina. Did she really get shot?
Which one are you talking about?
The newscaster who was like shot at point blank range while doing an interview at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay. She was like out on like the pier or something?
Yes, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a few years ago. Yeah, I think a lot of this stuff is the media has played a key role in all of what's happened over the course of the past year.
Throughout the 20th century.
Yes, yeah.
It's like we believe reality was the script that they gave us, and now we're just, you know, some of us. 9/11 really did it for me. I had my suspicions, but when 9/11 happened, that was so far an inside job. How anybody could think it was something else, they'd have to be brain dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
What happened to the Arab terrorists? What happened to the Arab terror network that was supposed to be behind 9/11? It was just another department of the CIA, which is another department of the Mossad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that's really...
That's still what we're not seeing. It's like, we keep We keep getting involved with all these delicious facts. I got one the other day that Epstein is still alive and talking, but I don't trust the sender. It wasn't Hal Turner, but it was somebody like him. It's like people get trapped. It's like the Alex Jones syndrome, where he's got this sensational thing where he perks up your ears and you want to follow along, and it's a lead that it always goes nowhere. It disappears into thin air. And all of these stratagems that grab us on the news now, that they're just, how can the whole world believe that a mask which can't stop anything is going to save them from some boogeyman that has been created by the media that Big Pharma owns?
Yeah, I know.
That's what we have. That's the situation that we have. And everybody is buffaloed. I've said from the beginning of this that it's more about witchcraft than anything else. It's like trauma-based mind control. It's all of these rolled into one, coordinated by this lockstep media apparatus, where it's like you see these YouTubes where all the news announcers all over the country are saying exactly the same words on exactly the same story. You've seen those.
It's very scripted.
That's basically the situation with all the Jewish media, which is all the media. And that's most people's news sources. They get it in bits and pieces on their car radios, and they vote with that. And so CNN and the New York Times are leading the charge, where the election it was a normal election and it wasn't rigged, despite all the evidence that there's never been anything rigged more than this election. And most people are buying the mainstream media story. We got to get the COVID vaccine to assure we'll have a comfortable future, and we'll be able to get money, and we'll be able to fly on airplanes, and we'll be able to go to football games. But we won't be able to do any of those things if we don't have the vaccine. That's communist blackmail. And the thing of it is, they're going to get away with it. And then we're going to be looking at the famous Deagle prediction of the greatly reduced population of the United States coming up in a few years. And that's because the people who get the vaccine get the disease when they get the vaccine, and that makes them contagious, and they spread it to the population if they get the vaccine.
Yeah, wow. Well, there's a lot to say. You know, speaking of that, I just saw an article just yesterday. It was a nurse in, I think it was actually in San Diego, and they had taken the COVID vaccine, and then like 3 days later developed symptoms and tested positive for COVID. And the media was spinning it as if, oh, this is actually what we would expect. This is normal. You know, some people right. are going to, you know, yeah. So it's like they have it, you know, any way they please, it seems like. The vaccine, you know, the promotion of the vaccine has been central. And, you know, you had mentioned how the media is so coordinated in all this.
Yeah.
But also what we've seen, and this has really come to light with the COVID scam, is this like medical tyranny we see now, the whole concept of technocracy and like a scientific dictatorship. This has all come to light, you know, and been very, very crystal clear with the rollout of this scam. And it's an aspect of kind of understanding the whole New World Order system that really wasn't that important to me, I guess, when I was originally sort of waking up to all this. Yeah. But now you see how central it all is. I mean, like Alex Jones is right about a lot of this. They literally do want to vaccinate the entire world. They want to track you. They want to, you know, make you have the, what do they call them? Vaccine certificates or vaccine passports.
Right. Yeah.
Where you can't, you know, I was even seeing articles from like Ticketmaster, where in order to attend a concert in the future, you have to download a certain app and upload like your certificate of vaccination to even buy a ticket. You know, and airplanes are talking about doing the same thing. So, you know, this is a very real aspect of all of this, and they've made it crystal clear with this whole COVID scam, which again is a disease that 99.9999% of people recover from naturally.
You know, that's even a fake statistic, because going back to the point of the vaccine is the fact that they've never isolated COVID means that they can't possibly have a vaccine for it. And yet the whole world is saying, oh, yes, give me the vaccine. for a disease that they have not scientifically identified.
Which means
the whole thing is a farce. And yet the people are following along because the authority figures and the media they have come to trust says, oh, yes, this is what we should do. And the people are such lemmings that they say, oh, yes, this is what we should do. So that's going to cause millions of deaths.
That's a good point. And I remember interviewing Dr. Rebecca Carley, which we were talking about previously, right before we went on air. Yeah. And she was saying back, I think I interviewed her in, I want to say it was either March or April, I think, this year. Yeah, yeah, you can find it in the archives. I interviewed her two times over the course of 2020. And I mean, the first time I interviewed her, she was saying that, look, this whole thing is a hoax. Yeah. Coronavirus is nothing more than the common cold.
Right. That's
and
right.
That appears to be basically what it is. And I mean, I regularly, usually once a year, I will get some sort of cold or flu-like symptoms, and I'll be sick for a few days, and I'll recover. You know, I'll lay in bed for a day or two, and you know, sleep it off. And sometimes I'll really feel crappy. I remember back in the summer of 2015, I got the worst flu I've ever had in my life. I mean, I was really, really sick. You know, I had the chills. I was, you know, I had major body aches. I had a major headache. You know, so I mean, this stuff happens. But it's not something we need to shut down the whole world over.
No, I've had bad flus and they're gone in a day or two.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really, it seems to be all this is. And you see the evidence for this. I mean, you see how, you know, they've basically, the medical fraud involved in all this is really, really incredible. I mean, the way the statistics.
Yes. I actually took someone, I got to tell you this story. This is my brush with COVID-19. I know some elderly people. I'm elderly myself. And anyway, one was sick for a long time. He was taking me to the emergency room. He's 93. And I said, okay. And to make a long story short, I took him to the emergency room. He took him in the back room. That was the last I ever saw of him. They said he had a heart attack on the table, but they said they put him into a coma and put him on a ventilator to try to save him, and it didn't work. So his cause of death was heart attack with COVID complications, right? And so his funeral was the next couple of days, and I didn't dare go to the funeral because I brought him to the emergency room, and I thought for sure I was going to have a contact tracer on my ass. So I didn't go, and he's long gone now, and his surviving partner has moved away, and that's all past history. But, you know, he coughed all over me, and I never had a symptom of anything. And this was months and months ago. So I just figure that we can no longer trust our medical professionals.
And No.
I canceled everything I had. I never got to see my Humana doctor after like six or seven postponements. And this is another tangent we could go off in, that medical care for everyone has been thrown in the crapper because supposedly hospitals are being reserved for COVID patients, and yet all the hospitals remain empty. Now, there's some other completely different story about all that labor saving or whatever, but I'm getting lost here. All of the things I've seen, all the doctors I've read, there's Kaufman, there's Buttar, there's all these other great doctors, and Simon Gold, the doctor's organization that has been suppressed and banned by Twitter, they're coming out and telling us, don't believe what they're telling you. And yet, mainstream media has triumphed, and the authoritarian personality in government that people seem to need, that has triumphed. Fauci was saying just the other day that we have to take our medicine and we have to do what we're told. He actually said that. And these guys are millionaires to begin with and perpetrating a gigantic fraud on the whole world for purposes of regimenting the population and making each one of them totally financially open to the people who are controlling their money and by that are controlling their lives. And now we're in a situation where we're going to get these either a $600 check or a $2,000 check. And that's expected to buy them a little more time. And at least by then, we're going to know who our so-called president is, whether it's going to be Trump or Biden. And God help us if it's, well, it's really either one of them, but God help us if it's Biden, because we're going to go full out communism if that's the case. And maybe Trump too. I mean, we may just have World War III with Trump. So this is the future we face, because for all of those years, we believed what the media have told us. And for all of those years, it's been a doctored story. We could do the whole 20th century, but I'll just point out a couple of things. World War II was something that the United States started, and it wasn't really the United States. It was the Jewish bankers and kingpins in control of the United States government throughout the 20th century that engineered a situation against Japan that led to our war in Europe, is basically what happened. But that was engineered by bankers in America, Jewish bankers in America. And ever since then, they have scripted, they have choreographed every move that we've made in this country, to the point where after we ran out of enemies around the world to destroy, first we tried creating this perfect enemy that couldn't be identified, which was known as Al-Qaeda, which we spent trillions of dollars trying to eliminate when we were employing them all the time. And then this last thing, where at the attempt to regiment every citizen in the world on the basis of their medical records, which are then turned into financial records, that's the imposition of communism coming all over the world. And what would you say, 95% of the American people don't see that coming. And it's here, and it's already. So,
good points.
Kind of success we're going to have. I know Bruce Campbell was always saying we got to organize these local squads to monitor our local police, but everyone I know is either so infirmed or unconscious that is such a preposterous assertion. I can't even imagine it happening. Now, there's going to be conflicts coming up, and I don't know anybody other than patriot militia groups who have any kind of preparation at all, but everybody's a sitting duck as far as I'm concerned. They can do what they want to anybody. So then responsibility for all this devolves down to our elected representatives, and God help us for that, because you know what the composition of Congress is now. It's what it's always been. The people who can steal the most money manage to steal themselves some government office, where they can steal even more money. And you only have to look at California's entire congressional delegation to see how that works.
Yes. Yeah, very true. All good points. You know, one thing I wanted to mention, and this is something that you've written about pretty extensively over the years, this idea of an artificial reality that's been perpetuated by the media, by the political establishment, by our educational establishment. And I mean, really, if you think about it, Any prevailing narrative on any given topic, whether it's political, whether it's historical, medical, even now, any narrative on any given topic is totally controlled by Jews. Yeah. All information has been vetted by a Jew for our consumption. Yeah. And until we realize that, I mean, we will continue to be psychologically and spiritually enslaved to these people. And soon, I mean, quite literally, like physically enslaved to these people with this tyrannical COVID medical tyranny.
Yeah. The first part of that, I think we're past that point. When I haven't done any serious investigation of public school curricula these days, but I hear stories from teachers that the things that they are allowing to happen in elementary schools, and I guess I'm focusing in my mind on the Obama era's drag queen story hour type material, and more recently a bill passed in New York that legalizes vaccinating children, I believe it's over 11, or maybe it's 11 and over, without informing their parents. That's a bill that was passed. I couldn't cite the footnote, but I just read about it. I read about too much stuff. So we're well down the road where the second generation, and I think people during World War II, people like Elizabeth Dilling and Eustace Mullins and Gerald Smith and Douglas Reed and all those great people, they thought maybe, even though they were banned by the mainstream, they thought that maybe someone would carry on in the future, the fight for freedom. But slowly that pool of intellects has been diminished and restricted and censored and killed. And now who is left to carry on the thought that the American government, supposedly a republic, maybe even still a democracy, was supposed to be the bastion of some sort of human intelligence in the world? And and look at who we have fighting to be our leaders. Two people controlled by the same foreign countries in charge of a network that is out to steal as much as they can for themselves at the expense of everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's a very dire, bleak situation. And, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on Trump, especially over the course of this past year. I mean, really, in my view, his entire presidency itself has been just one major disappointment. I look back to his, you know, when he was running in like 2015 and throughout 2016 leading up to the election. And I think he, it was like that, like candidate Trump was more of a powerful figure and leader than President Trump. I mean, once he got in office, he just has really failed to really accomplish any of his key goals. And of course, he has been stymied by virtually the entire political system. You know, there's been a witch hunt, you know, taking place since he stepped into the White House. So, I mean, it hasn't been easy, but at the end of the day, I think he's been a huge disappointment. And I think his response to the events of this past year have just totally put him in the grave. I mean, this guy has gone along with all of this. You know, he's been on Twitter tweeting law and order as the entire country is being looted and destroyed by BLM and Antifa terrorists. And his own FBI is saying that it's white supremacists that are the greatest threat facing the country.
He has never had control of those agencies, not at all.
Never.
I mean, they're supposed
and,
to work.
And it's his own fault. I mean, he's appointing these people into these positions of power.
Well, I was reflecting the other day on the number of leftovers from the Obama administration who are still in the government. And even the leftovers from earlier regimes in that, of which Bill Barr was one. He goes back into the Bush era. But no, he didn't have a good grip on the political apparatus when he came into office. He just, you know, he knew a lot of people in New York, and he had a lot of good ideas. He had a lot of support, and he had a lot of plans. But I don't know whether the Jewish puppet masters soured on him because he was too convincing a patriot leader, because so many white patriots got behind him and completely overlooked the fact that he was connected at the hip to the Lubavitchers, who are the most dangerous terrorist group in the world, actually. And those are his children who are involved with that. So how can he not be loyal to them? So I think his whole patriotic demeanor, even though he's done some good things, he's streamlined government because he's, I don't want to say he's a good businessman, because like early in his career, he kept getting bailed out by people richer than him after one thing after another failed. But he certainly has learned a lot in that period of time. And I don't think we've ever had a businessman for president in my lifetime. So I think he was able to.
Oh, John, you there?
Okay. What happened?
Oh, okay. No, I think we're back. You just cut out for a second. Said that there was a poor connection, but yeah. I think we're back. Yeah.
I had that too. Somebody was trying to call in. That's what it might have been. Anyway, I'm ranting on about that. But you asked me about Trump, and I want to just go back to the beginning and maybe recap the whole thing. Somebody asked me here recently what I thought of Trump, and I said, He's probably the best American president since Kennedy in terms of the some of the things that he's done. But he's connected to the greatest murder organization of all time, which happens to be the driving force that is destroying America and has been doing it for a long time. So, but the situation is we have every year we have two candidates who are the Jews candidates. I don't remember the last election, probably nothing in my lifetime, where the candidates weren't totally connected to Israel, starting with Harry Truman.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that's not different, but it's like the American people are not aware of that reality because guess who owns all the media? And that's not an exaggeration. They own all the media. And if somebody has a TV station or a newspaper that wants to go an independent route, like Cynthia McKinney did one time, trying to get reelected to Congress, they are going to be assaulted and run over by a worldwide organization of Jewish contributors to whoever the opposition is that you're going to face for saying anything negative about Israel. And that's why Cynthia McKinney got bounced out of Congress for being very neutral on the Israeli-Palestinian issue. And that was unacceptable to the people who run the country or the people who run the world, really. So that's why she's out in perpetuity. And it's like we've both faced this over time. The minute you say something about them, they start to they can't ever attack your argument because you're telling the truth, but they'll attack your personality and your history. And wherever they can get a hold on you, they'll try to blackmail you out of existence because they are trained to eliminate all other options other than their own in every situation. That's what they do, and that's why you can't really argue with them.
No, yeah, exactly. Well, and they've weaponized like our political discourse, and anybody that says anything critical of Jews is denounced as like a hater and an anti-Semite,
right,
and a conspiracy theorist. I mean, this whole think about this whole like Great Reset agenda, which the World Economic Forum and these other, you know, globalist billionaires have been openly talking about and advocating for years now,
yeah.
And they call it a conspiracy theory. I was actually, prior to starting, I was checking my email, and I follow the ADL. I get the ADL's like, you know, email,
oh, cool.
Email,
yeah,
newsletters, yeah, just to kind of see what they're saying and promoting.
Your enemy posts, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and here's Jonathan Greenblatt tweeting out just a couple days ago, "The Great Reset is yet another example of the rise of conspiracy theories, which continue to establish themselves on mainstream social media channels." So they're basically advocating for shutting anybody down that's talking,
yep,
about the concept of the Great Reset, which the World Economic Forum openly promotes.
Sure.
Time Magazine, you know, did a whole featured story on it. You know, it's no secret, you know, and yet guys like Jonathan Greenblatt and the New York Times will denounce you as, you know, a conspiracy theorist for pointing out this agenda, which appears to be basically this, again, this like technocratic scientific dictatorship where you won't own anything. You know, did you see that video clip that came out?
Probably.
I guess it was actually a couple of years ago where they're sort of describing the Great Reset and how, you know, nobody is going to own anything. Private property will be,
yeah,
totally abolished and you'll be happy because of it. I mean, it's really astonishing. But again, I mean, you point this stuff out, you bring it up, and, you know, Jonathan Greenblatt is going to try to get you deleted from Twitter or Facebook.
And succeed.
Or fire you from your job, yeah. And succeed,
yeah.
Exactly,
oh,
yeah.
You know, one of the things I was thinking of the other day, this is kind of off topic here, but in England, they have a police force called the Shamrim. That is,
yeah,
only,
yeah,
it's a Jewish police force. And it runs around the city in these pseudo police cars assisting the police, but with an eye out for anti-Semitic graffiti and things like that. You know, and it's like, we don't have that in this country because the cops are all keyed into that. You know, it's like the cops don't protect the people. The cops protect the business and the cops protect the money. And so if you are trying to make a free speech case with the cops about the Jews, you shouldn't even try to do it because you're going to get trapped in all these laws that the Jews have already cleverly installed in your local state or region. Of course, we have that problem in Florida where the governor, who was somewhat civilized in some respects, but passed that constitution busting law prohibiting students in Florida from ever learning about the Holocaust. He signed it in Israel.
And, from ever learning anything critical of the Holocaust.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Anything other than the Jewish version of the Holocaust. That's the only.
Yeah, that's pretty standard across the country at this point.
That shatters his oath of office for violating the Constitution.
Yeah. Well, now, and you are in Florida. You've been in Florida as long as I've known you, anyways. And you guys basically haven't really locked down, at least not like California and New York and a lot of these other states. What's it like down there with all this going on?
I don't wear a mask anywhere. Nobody. When's the last time I was challenged? I don't remember the last time I was challenged. I was in Walmart today. Probably it's been down as low as 75% masks. But recently, with all the recent stories about a new strain, right? It went up to back up into the 90s, and for maybe the past week, it's been like 90%. But now it's back down to 75-80%. And I was in Walmart earlier in the day, and I saw not a lot of people in there. But like I say, it's about 75-80% masks. So, but still, people are held in thrall to the newscasts and the newspapers that say, oh, COVID, we got a new COVID here. And although the stories in the paper today were kind of disappointed with the people who turned out to get the new vaccine that had arrived. And I thought, well, maybe there is hope for Americans after all, if it continues to be a light turnout, because that's something that nobody should ever do, is take a COVID-19 vaccine.
Yeah. Ever. Have you, I don't know if you saw, but I remember, I'm going to see if I can try to find him here. I don't have it pulled up on my screen, but a couple weeks ago, there was some interesting articles that came out in like the Times of Israel. I remember the Times of Israel reported on it, and I think there was another Jewish outlet.
Yeah,
and they were reporting how both I think it's the Pfizer vaccine and then the Moderna. I mean, these are basically like explicitly Jewish creations. I mean, like the main people behind it all are all Jews, and a lot of them have ties directly to Israel. So, I mean, there's clearly like a key Jewish role in this whole, you know, COVID deception.
Sure.
And yeah, it's another aspect that, you know, won't get reported on, at least not in the mainstream. I mean, you can go to like the Times of Israel and they'll like brag about it. But if you point it out, you know, you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah, that's why it's useful to read those Israeli papers sometimes. But the double standard is, and Americans don't know about it. You know, Americans don't know about me and you. They don't know what we're trying to do. We were trying to point out that we're controlled by a foreign power that gives us all these trinkets, and now is going to give us a paycheck for doing nothing. All we have to do is take the shot.
Yeah, and I am certainly not taking the shot. Well, and again, this whole thing, it's kind of exposed the whole just the fraudulent nature of our medical system in general.
That's the point. I mean, that's statins and cancer treatment, radiation and chemotherapy, total waste of time. It torture people and take all their money before they die. What a great scam that is, especially when they had a cure back in the 30s and they totally destroyed it.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, you won't hear – there's no real talk about how to actually prevent disease, like taking care of your body, getting good sleep, eating the right food, you know, getting sunshine, getting exercise, you know, the basics. None of that is discussed. It's all about vaccines and pharmaceutical drugs and, you know, listening to your doctor and getting, you know, tested and all this other nonsense. So, I mean, the whole medical system in general, the way we understand health and modern medicine is fundamentally designed to, as you said, bankrupt you, to take all your money, and to keep you sick.
And to kill you, yes. Yeah, I was just thinking of Sherry Tenpenny. If only people would just listen to her. She's just a very sensible person. But, no, it's a money-making operation, and that's, you know, it's going to be the death of the world. It's really looking like it. When money rules everything, you can expect destruction. And that's why we've had it for thousands of years, over and over again. It's the same thing, same reason, same group of people, those Greek silver miners who just kept evolving into one thing after another and have managed to maintain control over thousands of years simply by knowing how to control the currency. Was it in the days of Marco Polo, they sent all silver to China and brought back all gold? I think that's how it went. And it's like, it's I don't know. Tolkien is another one, The Lord of the Rings, where the search for that ring of power just makes people crazy, and that's why we have all the damage. And I don't know how you correct that. I've been using a phrase that nobody seems to recognize these days, and the phrase is social conscience. And it's like most of the people I've dealt with all my life, who've been my friends and in some instances colleagues like yourself, know what a social conscience is. You don't have to ask them about it. It's just automatic. When you see something bad, you know, it's if you can fix it, you fix it. But most people don't have a social conscience. When I worked at the newspaper in Florida, last newspaper in Florida I worked at, I was there for 5 years, and I don't want to say too many bad things about it, but the one observation I made was in the 5 years I was there, there was only one person on that staff who ever had a social conscience. He was like a 23-year-old intern who came out of college. And everybody else was just doing their job, didn't really care in particular about what was going on in the world. But it's like this attitude of we just have to worry about our own selves and we don't have to worry about what's going on around us. This is exactly what has got us into the position that we're in, which is we have control over nothing and everything's about to be destroyed. So I don't know where I was going with that, but it's just it strikes me. I'm having trouble with my family because there's a couple of Biden voters in there, and there's no way of even explaining to them or understanding how they could not know that much to be able to be enthusiastic about Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's that would be a very difficult situation.
So much said about him, and it's because they stick to their own New York Times, CNN orbit, and you got people like the younger Cuomo and Don Lemon on there saying, "Oh, that's all just hearsay. That's all just the fixing the election is conspiracy theory," and it's like you can't continue a conversation with someone who believes that.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, that's another aspect of Trump's presidency is, you know, the hyper polarization of America. And I mean, you know, there's either people that love Trump and, you know, think the election was stolen. I mean, if you look at like, and, you know, who knows, a lot of polls are fraudulent. You know, we were talking about polls earlier in this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you see some of the polls coming out and like 90% of Trump voters or GOP supporters like don't believe the election results at all. So and then on the other side, you know, you have the extremely polarized Democrat faction that think Trump is this tyrant and he's got to go and blah blah blah. So the country is very much polarized at this point. And the president next week this coming week is really going to I think sort of make it clear what, you know, what's about to happen, because he's calling this rally on, I think it's January 6th, which is Wednesday.
That's the big day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that if I'm not mistaken, that's also the day that the Congress is going to meet and sort of, you know, certify the Electoral College votes or maybe have them challenge, you know, there's a number of Republican representatives in the House that are saying that they will challenge it. And I know there's at least one Republican senator. I think what is his name? Senator Hawley, I think, from Missouri.
Josh Hawley, yeah.
Yeah, he was saying that he's going to object to it as well. So it's going to be interesting how it plays out. I mean, frankly, I think it's going to be tough for Trump. I mean, he's, you know, he's let all this happen under his watch, and it's not looking good for him, but I guess we'll see. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how many people show up there. I did see some videos already, and it looks like there are a number of people already in D.C. sort of preparing.
20 million. He asked for 20 million.
And knowing, you know, his supporters' loyalty to him and, you know, his charisma and stuff, he'll probably get a lot of people out there.
Yeah, I think, yes, it could be. He could shut down the city. I said, which, you know, a long time ago, I suggested that. We 20 million was the number, too. This was, who was president then? I think Bush still might have been president then. But I said, that's the way to stop all this horse hockey on 9/11, because that still has not been resolved. And, you know, the lie has survived and prospered, although not too many people talking about 9/11 these days, because the minute you do, these questions all pop up. So that's what we're going to have with this election, too. If this election is allowed to stand, in a way, it's going to make it easier for us, because it's open season on this, is on Creepy Joe and Commie Kamala as targets for ridicule and criticism. I mean, it's like, you know, talk about shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah, exactly.
But with Trump, it would be more difficult. And Trump is able to act just as evil as either Biden or Commie Kamala can, because he's connected to the same guys. If Trump survives this and tries to pass himself off as a hero of who survived Democratic treachery, then it's open season. He will never be able to be impeached again, and he can do anything he wants. And if that's not a good situation, and I go back to the famous phrase that I always use a lot: the most dangerous thing in the world is a Jew talking about peace.
Right.
That is the truth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the main takeaways, at least from our conversation and a lot of your writings, is really there doesn't appear to be any sort of political solution anytime soon. I mean, just given the fact that both sides are totally controlled essentially by organized Jewish interests and pro-Israel interests, and there's no doubt about that. And really, I mean, if you think about it, like what are the main things that Trump actually accomplished? I mean, he seems to have served Israel more than America to a large extent. Yeah. And, you know, you see, like, it's also interesting. I mean, under his watch the past 4 years in his first term, I mean, we saw all sorts of people getting shut down on social media. We saw his own supporters get prosecuted by his own Justice Department. Yep. Thinking of, for example, General Flynn or Roger Stone or,
although
you know, a lot of the...
That was really Obama's Justice Department.
Which Trump presided over. I mean, Comey came directly from Obama, and he kept him at the Justice Department when he was, you know, when he first got into the White House. So, you know, it's, again, I mean, he's basically been a huge disappointment in my mind. And he had a lot of potential. I think he had a lot of potential to do some good, and that was always kind of what I would emphasize when talking about Trump is, look, he, you know, he has a lot of support. He's saying a lot of good things. You know, of course, you know, from the beginning, he had all sorts of ties to Israel and Jewish connections, and including in his own family, which was always, you know, a problem for me, frankly. But at the end of the day, he could have done a lot of things. And I mean, he just failed for whatever reason. And maybe he's been an actor this entire time in this, grand political scheme. Go ahead.
So maybe he was supposed to fail. There's this book. I forget. I shouldn't talk about it because I can't cite it. But it was written in the 19th century that supposedly has in it a hero named Trump, who was the last American president. So,
no kidding.
You
know,
it's funny. It's like with all the pre-programming that took place with 9/11, you know, the episodes of The Simpsons and things like that, where these things that happen, it's all seem to be announced in advance. And I don't know about Trump being the last American president, but we're in a situation now where I don't know how that would come to pass without some colossal catastrophe. And we don't want that, but we're being set up for it, I think.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, it's like there are doctors out there who can tell us all we need to know about the phoniness of this whole pandemic. I mean, there's a lot of doctors who know, but they're shut out from reaching the public by the media and the politicians. And until we overcome that, we're never going to have any say in the actions of government that are really having a devastating effect on our lives.
Right. Well, and not only that, I mean, a lot of these people are even being shut down on social media. You can't even
the president.
The president himself is getting, you know, censored on Twitter, and they have all these disclaimers now pretty much with everything he tweets, at least about the election.
They're so disgusting, these Jewish punks saying that this is not verified or whatever they say on there. It's like, this is his opinion, maybe. There's a certain phrase that they use that's really irritating. It's like, as if they are God-given umpires of what is real and what is not. And it's like, it's the same thing. It's what newspapers did to Americans in the 20th century. They got them thinking in a certain direction. And now it's more obvious on the electronic media because people with contrary opinions are instantly cut off. And it's always, well, almost always about the same subject, which is talking about Jewish criminality in one way or the other.
Yes, very true. Well, John, we're right at about the hour mark, and I think we'll go ahead and wrap up. Your website is johnkaminsky.org.
It is.
If I'm not mistaken, you got all your articles up there.
Yeah.
On the right, I'm looking at the website right now. On the right-hand sidebar, your best articles. Definitely, guys, check these out if you have not read these already. You know, you've been covering some of the most controversial and critical topics that people really need to understand if they want to understand what's really going on in the world. 9/11, Holocaust revisionism, the Hitler test. That's probably one of my favorite articles you've written over the years. So
it's a very important thing. If you don't pass the Hitler test, it's reasonable to assume you're working for the Jews.
Right. Or just don't get it yet, you know?
Both of those.
All right, John. Well, hey, it was good to catch up with you. Go ahead.
Always a great pleasure to talk to you. Your interviews have been terrific over time. And stay safe and don't wear a mask.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Well, you take care, okay?
All right, John.
All right. Bye-bye.